Cat Among the Pigeons by Grant McFarlane.
There's a name for a woman who's lost her husband, but not for one who's lost her child. Take care, Emily. After this pronouncement, she got in the back of the taxi and left the service. I didn't know what she was talking about, nor did I even remember her name. She was an aunt of sorts, on my mother's side. One of those family friends that were privileged enough to have the title of uncle or auntie conferred on them. A countless amount of adults whose names I never needed to know. She was already at the church when we had arrived, the ushers having correctly put her on the bride's side. I had only but a chance to nod and smile before I was caught up trying to find Brian, so he was ready to walk his daughter down the aisle. A particularly nauseating tradition, which upset me from the moment Laura told me. "Oh, Mum, you're the best," she had said when I agreed that it wasn't to be me, like we'd often spoke of when she was little. Only after the service, when I saw her go towards her taxi, did I rush over and thank her for coming. It was a big church, so we were happy for word-of-mouth invitations to anyone in the village that we may have forgotten. No one else that knew Laura's gran was there, and my appreciation was genuine. So I may have gushed a bit too much and hugged the fragile old thing a little too tightly when my tears fell on her shoulder. They stopped when she said those words, the only words she said before leaving. "Come on, Mum," James said as he put his arm through mine. "You're coming in our car." Evie, their youngest, held my hand when settled in the back seat, with her brother Josh on the other side playing with his phone. "What was Aunt Julia saying, Mum?" James asked. I told him what she said and that I didn't understand, to which he responded, "Don't think about her, Mum. She's just a drama queen. Gran always used to say she liked to be the cat among the pigeons, remember?" I didn't remember. Nor did I ever really understand what that phrase meant either. Whenever the pigeons saw our cat, they'd always fly away. So it was never among the pigeons. Not really. I must have said this out loud, as Evie laughed and squeezed my hand tighter. "You're so funny, Granny," as she leaned her head against my shoulder. To my surprise, we arrived at their house. "Why are we here? Aren't we going to the hotel for the breakfast?" "It's past lunchtime, Granny," Josh had informed quite matter-of-factly. I watched them as they exited the car. James's wife, Eloise, had strawberry blonde hair like Laura's, styled in the same long bob with middle parting. A pretty, functional haircut. I'd been quite proud of that. One's style speaks a lot of one's character. And Laura was always a very practical young girl, which always pleased me. Eloise opened the door to my left and knelt down. I looked at her hands laid prone and held upwards on my knees, and I joined my own hands with hers, then aware of my sobbing. I sneaked a look at her and saw that her mascara left a trail on her cheeks. I unclasped my hands to take the tissue from my sleeve. "Don't cry, Laura. It will be okay," I said to comfort the child. She then leaned into the car to lay her head on my knees as I continued to soothe whatever was bothering her. I may even have hummed a little tune. I looked over her shoulder and noticed that James and the kids were standing there, hugging and crying too. Although unsure as to why, it struck me that there may not be a wedding breakfast after all. My auntie had said that there wasn't a name for one who's lost her child, but they've all been saying I've got something, so maybe that's what it's called. Alzheimer's, I think it is. Perhaps that's the name for it.